Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, lots going on out there. And then tonight, of course, thrilling. It will be a thrilling moment. We'll see what happens with this bizarro world that we're going into with the Democrat National Convention, followed by the Republican National Convention. Lots of masks, lots of live streaming and video content, and not a lot of people staying in the same place. Because we just don't do that anymore. We're so over that. Because now you got to learn the new normal. The new normal. That's what we're all talking about now. The new normal. So that's what's going on tonight. I'll be watching that. I'll take the hit for the team and watch Joe Biden's acceptance speech. You know, but that'll be brief. And then his big one's coming up. It'll Michelle Obama tonight. Listen, I'll check it out a little bit, but I'm a steward of my time, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time watching that. But I'll catch the highlights, and then I'll share that as the week unfolds, and we'll go from there. I want to spend a decent amount of time today walking through what's the big deal with Donald Trump, apparently, versus the U.S. Postal Service, which is a bunch of hooey. Because there's really constitutionally not all that much that the president of the United States can do with the Postal Service. And there are different people in charge there, people that have been vetted and confirmed, by the way, by the U.S. Senate, including the Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's big mega donor boogeyman there, that they actually in the Senate confirmed almost unanimously. Oops, problem there. And so I want to take you through the details of that. So you understand what's going on in terms of the potential of voter fraud, the potential for vote harvesting, ballot harvesting. There's all kinds of things out there that if all of a sudden we throw open the doors, which is why the news that I shared on Friday, this past Friday, was just good news all the time. By the way, if you're on the radio and you want to join us here in the studio, just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook and you can join us by Facebook Live. But Fauci coming out saying, listen, there's no reason we can't vote in person as long as everybody's properly distanced, which if you notice this, at your local voting place, all the little voting booths are separated anyway, like pre-COVID, ready for COVID. And so Fauci comes out and says, there's no reason we shouldn't vote in person. But of course, the Democrats on the other side who would love to do vote harvesting. And over the course of time, when you look at the abuse of the, especially mail-in and voter fraud, it does happen on both sides of the aisle. But if we all of a sudden are going to open it up and do mail-in voting for 120 million Americans across the country, then you've got massive problems. And that's what Trump is talking about. So I'm going to take you through some of those things. A couple different articles here. One from Jason Chaffetz, who used to serve in the House. Another one from over at the Daily Wire, just to make sure we understand the realities. And then in the third segment of the show, we're going to talk to Sloan Rackmuth, who is the executive director of Penn and Shield. She was on recently talking about this Black Lives Matter Marxist curriculum that they're investing into and getting into the school system. It's here in the Wake County public school system where I live in the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area of North Carolina, but it's showing up all over the place. And Sloan and some others are driving a petition to give to the Wake County public school system, Board of Education, to try to push them away. So it's a petition to remove the Black Lives Matter Marxist curriculum and teacher training from the Wake County public school system. But if you're not in Wake County, if you're not living around here, if you're listening elsewhere, watching elsewhere on Facebook Live, you should probably get into your school system if you're involved, and whether you have kids there or not is irrelevant if you're a Christian, because you're called to love your neighbor as yourself. And so you should care about other people's kids or younger kids being taught this garbage, which really involves one of the Black Lives Matter co-founders, who is a radical Marxist, anti-Christian, and she's actually in the video in the Wake County Public School Systems here in the Raleigh area, North Carolina. But you should check the school system where you're at, because this stuff is getting is infesting all over the place, not just here locally. So we'll talk to Sloan in the third segment for a little bit, and then we're going to talk to David Fisher in the last segment, because Warren Buffett did something really wild, which he's been bashing something for years, and then he just invested $700 million in something. And then the national debt to surpass $78 trillion by 2028. That's almost triple where we're at right now. So a lot going on there, but I want to talk about the mail-in voter fraud thing because that's a big deal. But real quick, a quick update on Monday, today, because on Friday, I shared the story. It was Good News Friday, right? All we did was positive stories. John MacArthur's church sues California after being threatened with fines. And then they won in a lower court decision, put a stay on that. But then on Saturday, late night California court ruling upholds the ban on indoor church services. So this was just on the 16th. This just happened over the weekend. The California Court of Appeals issued a late night ruling that upholds a ban on churches holding indoor services. The ruling sets aside a lower court's decision on Friday that would have allowed Pastor John MacArthur and Grace Community Church to hold an indoor service. The Court of Appeals said immediate action was necessary because MacArthur planned to conduct worship services on Sunday, which they did. Sorry, they're in the government. That you can't control us, as between the harm that flows from the heightened risk of transmitting COVID-19 and the harm that flows from having to conduct religious services outdoors instead of indoors, the balance at this early stage favors issuance of a stay, the three-judge panel wrote. So this is continuing. That was in Los Angeles County and in the California court system, this battle between church and state, okay, which the state has obviously overstepped its bounds. For most churches in America, that hasn't been a problem because they're just staying shut down. But that's going to continue to develop. That battle, which needs to be fought, is continuing. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that. But let's move into something I want to make sure we all understand clearly, which is this quote-unquote battle and the quote-unquote nefarious plot, to quote my friend Steve Dace, the nefarious plot, apparently, according to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the arbiters of all truth in the world and the galaxy and the cosmos, then Donald Trump trying to dismantle, let's use that word, dismantle the postal system so that people will be denied their vote and their right to vote, and there'll be disenfranchisement across the country because if Donald Trump can't rely on Russia, he's going to do it himself. That's kind of essentially the narrative, right? It's just, I know I'm sounding really snarky, but that's the deal. So I'm going to work through these two articles here. First one by Jason Chaffetz. Jason Chaffetz used to be chairman of the U.S. House Oversight Committee when he served as a representative from Utah. You probably see him recently on Fox News. He sits in for Sean Hannity every once in a while. So I'm going to take you through some of the points here because this is very important that we understand what is and what is not happening. Because if we throw open the door and just start mailing out, this has already happened, absentee voter ballots all over the country, you've got a massive opportunity for voter fraud. You think things are bad now. What if Trump wins and people allege that he didn't? We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. A miracle. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope it was unmasked as possible. The maximum of allowable by law. Unmask the maximum amount allowable by law. Every time I had to teach two of my new classes last week with one of those face shields on, I thought I was going to just scream and throw something through the window. And whenever I have to wear a mask, and then as soon as my toe gets to the edge of the exit of the building or the store or whatever, I just rip that bad boy off. It just drives me nuts. So anyway, I hope you had a good mask-free weekend. Talking about something going on out there. That's a big deal with the Postal Service and things swirling around. Trump, by the way, just landed in Wisconsin, so he's hitting the swing states while the Democrats are doing their virtual national convention this week. Biden will say a little bit tonight, but just receiving the accolades of his people from some shelter somewhere, and hopefully he'll stick to this. Actually, I don't want him to stick to the script. I want him to just go completely off the script and say whatever he wants, because that's when it's most obvious that the man should not be running for president or any other major leadership position. But I digress. By the way, we are just in chapter 5 of the book of John in the new Daily Dose series that I'm writing. So you can jump in there. Just text the word dose to 66866. Literally, just the word dose. Send that. That's your message. Text the word dose, D-O-S-E, to 66866. You'll get a little reply text message. You put your email in there, and then boom, you'll get on the email list for your daily dose. So I also put that on Facebook, so you can see that at the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, working our way through the entire book of John, the Gospel of John, just on chapter 5 right now. So I hope you'll join us there. Okay, back to this issue of what's going on with the Postal Service. So this is an article in Fox News from Jason Chaffetz, who used to serve in the House. Swirling and sudden concerns about the United States Postal Service have arisen from Democrats who are wildly accusing President Trump of cheating and manipulating the Postal Service in his favor, right? Because if Russia can't do it, then he's going to do it himself. Conveniently, they forget to mention the president is far more than at arm's length from how we vote, and the Postal Service is not under the thumb of his control. What's the problem there? Oh, it's that, what is that old document? Not the Bible, but the U.S. Constitution. Senate Democrats join Republicans to unanimously install postal leadership, of which one is an Obama appointee. No doubt President Trump has expressed deep concerns about the validity of the ballots, and rightfully so. Sending out millions of ballots without authenticating the inbound ballots is ripe for massive fraud. Democrats have desperately been seeking to legalize it's called ballot harvesting, which is the collection and submission of ballots by someone other than the voter and without authentication. So you go to a retirement village, places like that. You show up, hey, we'll collect all that for you. We'll help you out. We'll take them in, right? No problem there. You can trust that whole process. All kinds of nefarious things that could happen there. It must be noted, elections in the United States are administered by counties and certified by states. In other words, per the United States Constitution, elections are run locally and not by the executive branch of the federal government. The president has simply sought fair elections. Ironically, it's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's H.R. 1 that seeks to federalize elections and give the president power he doesn't currently have now. Her solution would create the problem she inaccurately blames Trump for today. Pelosi this week is seeking emergency hearings not on COVID-19 relief, but on the United States Postal Service and their ability to deliver, of course, blaming President Trump even to the point of cheating. She cares about power and elections. This is from Jason Chaffetz, okay, who used to serve in the House. Alarmingly, the Postmaster General, a Trump mega donor, has acted as an accomplice in the president's campaign to cheat in the election as he launches sweeping new operational changes that degrade delivery standards and delay the mail, Speaker Pelosi said, along with Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, not Majority Leader, praise the Lord. The President of the United States does not control the operations of the Postal Service, nor does he select or appoint the Postmaster General. What? Yeah, that's a problem, right? Right? Trump's mega donor. Well, who appointed the Postmaster General? Let's get into that. So the President of the United States does not control the operations of the Postal Service, nor does he select Postmaster General. The Board of Governors does both of these things. The Postal Regulatory Commission sets rates, service levels, and decides on postal closings, not the president. The governors are appointed by a president and confirmed by the United States Senate. No more than 5 of the 9 governors may be from the same political party. When President Trump came into the office, the USPS Board of Governors was in shambles, inoperable, as President Obama neglected the board. There were not enough members for even a quorum. In fact, by December 2016, there were 0 of a possible 9 appointed governors. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont was blocking multiple nominations. Robert Duncan now serves as the chairman of the Board of Governors. From 2007 to 2009, he was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, which will undoubtedly be repeated extensively by the Democrats. Also notable was Duncan's reappointment to the Board of Governors. Now, here's the trick, okay? Duncan, who they're saying, mega donor, Trump guy, he was reappointed to the Board of Governors in 2019 when the U.S. Senate in 2019 unanimously confirmed him again, 89-0. So a bunch of Democrats agreed with the Republicans that Duncan, Robert Duncan, is the man for the job. That's why they reconfirmed him, 89-0. Ron Blum, for instance, was nominated by President Trump and confirmed by the United States Senate to serve on the Board of Governors. But in 2011, President Obama had appointed Blum to serve as assistant to the president, Obama, on manufacturing policy. So they've got an Obama guy in there, too. The inspector general is also appointed by the Board of Governors and not by the president. The current inspector general is Tammy Whitcomb. Further, the chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission, Robert Taub, was appointed by President Obama and confirmed unanimously by voice vote in the United States Senate in December of 2016. They helped set the pricing and the price levels. If there's a shortfall in service, this is from this Fox News article written by Jason Chaffetz, who used to serve in the House, it isn't the president who's in the charge. The Board of Governors and the Postal Rate Commission make the decisions. The United States Postal Service receives no annual appropriation by the United States Congress to keep them afloat, right? So here's another thing. This is from the Daily Wire. I just noted a couple things here. The notion that Trump is not funding the United States Postal Service is not true. Somebody that I know said, Trump's cutting all the money to the Postal Service. That's not true. And any cuts that are made would be in the future. Okay? The Trump administration agreed on July 29 to loan the United States Postal Service $10 billion in emergency coronavirus relief funding, the Washington Post reported, adding that the money is a crucial injection of cash that postal officials say will keep the debt-laden agency solvent for at least a month, 2 months, until November 3rd. No, at least for another year. That's 12 months, well past the election. Here's another point. The United States Postal Service admitted in a recent press release that it is a broken business model. And Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer Louis DeJoy said that the Postal Service is in a financially unsustainable position absent significant fundamental change. So they all know things need to change. The New York Times reported, another point here from this Daily Wire article, that experts agree that the Postal Service has the raw capacity to absorb additional ballots, even if, listen to this, they have the raw capacity, even if 150 million people decided to vote by mail. So what's the problem here? The United States Postal Service recently warned 46 states and D.C. that it cannot guarantee all ballots cast by mail for the November election will arrive in time to be counted. Want to know why? Because a bunch of these states and their own election laws allow people to request an absentee ballot, 3 days before, 4 days before, 3 days in Ohio, 4 days before in at least four other states. So that system's broken, and none of that has anything to do with Donald Trump. But when you're as desperate as the Democrats because they have the Weekend at Bernie candidate, man, they're going to try anything. They'll continue to do so. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I do want to go back to some of that information about the U.S. Postal Service, Donald Trump versus the U.S. Postal Service, allegedly. Who's making that allegation? Well, that would be the eminently trustworthy Nancy Pelosi and her partner in crime, Chuck Schumer. So there's some quotes that I have from a recent interview with William Barr, and I'm going to get to that. Now, we can deal with the U.S. Postal Service, and we can pay attention to that in terms of the election. But what's going on in terms of our posterity? That is not a word that we use very much anymore. Posterity, our posterity, posterior is what's behind us. That's the next generation. That's me as a 54-year-old. That's my kids, my wife's kids, and their kids. That's our posterity, the people coming behind us. And one of the things going on now that all the kids are going back to school, kind of, in various forms of schooling, none of which I think actually qualify as regular school, there are some issues going on. We talked to Sloan Rackmuth a few weeks ago about this Black Lives Matter Marxist curriculum going in here in my own hometown. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake County Public School Systems, not just a curriculum with the kiddos to teach them about inclusiveness and diversity, but it's also embedded with all kinds of Black Lives Matter information, not just the kids, but also teacher training, and BLM is infecting all of those areas. And so Sloan was with us a couple weeks ago. She had an article that she wrote that kind of went viral. Glenn Beck was talking about it. It was all over the place. But now Sloan has leading a petition that's out there that we have the links on Facebook Live right now. So we want you to go check that out and make sure you sign the petition. I did that already. But Sloan, thanks for being back with us. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Steve. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Okay, give us give us the 411 again on the problem, what's out there, and then let's talk about this solution.
Sure. Well, the issue in Wake County School, as you pointed out, is that a few months ago, the Office of Equity Affairs at Wake County sent out a teaching tool that promotes prominently Black Lives Matter leaders who happen to be admitted not only Marxists, but anti-Semites and you know, people who practice in anti-Americanism, which they all kind of go together. But our concern here as parents in Wake County, and I'm one as well, is that, our children's learning is being degraded severely by adding in special interest projects, for one. I mean, my goodness, they have enough to kind of catch up on after this learning hole they've been in. But most importantly, this particular curriculum and this teaching tool reflects that that's being presented here in Wake County. It actually teaches discrimination. And if I didn't know any better, The teaching tool reflects material that sounds an awful lot like the segregationist movement way back when. So it's a regressive type of curriculum that Wake County seems to be putting in front of us.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you go look at it. After you had that article go viral and I was doing some research on it, it's amazing as you dig into the different resources, all the different links, where you end up. And after one thing after another, and of course they have Patrice Cullors there, who's prominently on the homepage of this whole curriculum with the Wake County Public School System, who is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, an absolute radical, a feminist, lesbian, Marxist, by her own words. I mean, most of us have seen that video now, Sloan, where she's like, yeah, we're trained organizers and trained Marxists. It's really amazing that Wake County Public School System and other school systems around the country, this isn't unique to us, unfortunately, have just openly embraced this. And is it any shock, should it surprise any of us, that Black Lives Matter has now infiltrated the school system?
Well, it goes to show you that, a lot of the teachers and teachers union in other places and teachers groups here have gotten to be a far, far left political group. I mean, I just looked at Union County today that had teachers driving around yesterday, on a Sunday, no less, driving around in a parade of hearses, okay? Hearses to simulate a funeral, to register their displeasure with having to come back and, wait for it, teach children. They don't want to come back into the classroom. So we've got, now the good news is, this is a blessing in disguise, if you can imagine it, with all this, these COVID closures, that parents are starting to open their eyes and wake up and say, so you mean all these teachers aren't idyllic sweethearts that just love to teach children and want to devote their life to children? We're understanding that. And I think that this curriculum and this particular tool and others are reflective of the far left swing going on and being pumped out by a lot of these teachers, unions, and groups.
Yeah, and I think that's important to remember, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because we're not saying, neither Sloan nor myself, nor have I ever said, that every single teacher in the public school system nationwide is a Marxist instigator trying to program your kids and my kids to become Marxist radical little liberals. But there are some out there, and that's an increasing number. Of course, the teachers union is radically liberal. There are some great teachers out there. There are some wonderful teachers out there that have a biblical worldview, whether they're Jewish or Christian, and they have great morals, and they're people that we would be proud to say are teaching our kids. But they are a minority. That's the realistic assessment of it. And so you have to not be kind of 1950s, everything's fine. We can't have a pre-9/11 mentality in a post-9/11 world when it comes to education. This is, for me, saying it's dangerous. Is that an overstatement, Sloan?
No, I don't think it is. I think any time that you teach radical discrimination, it's dangerous. And we've seen that throughout history. We understand that. And when children are being taught to discriminate against others, and to demonize them based on immutable characteristics, it leads to predictable outcomes. I mean, we can turn on our TV set and look at the racial violence going on in the streets right now. And that is a direct result from demonizing someone because they are different. And my goodness, I thought in this country we had finally learned that lesson, but it looks like, thanks to radicals, we're going to go right back to it. It's extremely dangerous. And I can tell you, as being a Jewish mother, nothing terrifies me more than having, a really, what it is its replacement theology being taught in the schools. And that is what this reflects.
So tell us about the purpose of the petition that's there. And again, we've got this linked on Facebook Live. It's on my Facebook pages, so you can see that at the Steve Noble Show Facebook page. But tell us about the petition and where it's going.
Wonderful, and thank you for doing this, Steve. Really appreciate it. There are a group of concerned parents that came together after reading my piece in The Federalist last month, and they put together a petition. I think they've garnered over 1,400 signatures at this point, but the petition will be presented tomorrow to the Wake County School Board for consideration. And what the petition, says is, it very politely, It starts out, Wake County citizens and taxpayers condemn all form of racism. And so really, it's what this petition is built on. We object to all forms of racism, and we won't tolerate it. And that means and includes this particular curriculum that's being put forth. So we're hoping to get, we've got, I believe, 1,453. We need 2,000 by tomorrow. And we're hoping that your audience will not only sign this, but send it to other folks that really do not want discrimination and intolerance being taught in our schools.
Yeah, exactly right. And so I've got that up on my Facebook pages right now, Sloan. Is there another way for people to get to it that are listening or watching on Facebook?
Well, they can go to ipetitions.com. That is the letter I, petitions.com. And from there, they can look up petition to remove BLM Marxist curriculum and teacher training from WCPSS. And that is Wake County Public School System. So that, again, is petition to remove BLM Marxist curriculum and teacher training from WCPSS at ipetitions.com.
Yeah, looking at it right there. And again, we have the direct link for that pinned to the Facebook Live comments section right now. So, Sloan, shoot me a message. Let me know what's going on with this so we can continue to partner with you guys, not on your behalf, not on my behalf, but on behalf of not only our own children, but other people's children as well. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll talk again soon. That was Sloan Rackmuth from Penn and Shield, executive director. And she's just a mom and a taxpayer and well-educated. I think Sloan was at Harvard. She's very smart, very tough, but she saw this stuff going into the school systems, and she put that article out that just blew up. It was in the Federalist and very, very alarming. And I've been tangling with the Wake County Public School System since we got started as activists back in 2004. And I remember one story way back when, where they had a new age teacher come in. It was like first or second graders, and were teaching them stress reduction techniques via the new age religion, which, by the way, the United States Supreme Court has said is a religion. So her going in, this African going in and teaching little kids in a public school about new age stress reduction would be the same violation as me going in and teaching stress reduction by having a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would call that proselytizing for Christianity. She was proselytizing for the new age religion, and that was bought and paid for by the public school system. It's a big problem. We'll talk to David Fisher when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. So many serious things to consider, troubling things, disturbing things. That's why on Friday, and I'm considering making every Friday nothing but good news stories. They could be political, cultural, whatever in the church, but good news only, because most of the time we're swimming in all the bad news. Like this one, this was in a Forbes article from August 16th. National debt to surpass 78 trillion. By 2028, and what it means for Americans. That was in Forbes. We're also going to talk about something that Warren Buffett just did to the tune of $563 million. That was a shocker. So we're going to do a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. And David, good to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my brother. Doing excellent.
So many wild things, and I think only through Christ can you and I or anybody else answer that question with such a positive attitude, because we have more. Our houses are not built on the sand. They're built on the rock, so praise the Lord for that. Before we dive into all these things and talk about Warren Buffett, that was just shocking when I saw that earlier today. We always like to start our Money Monday updates in the passage of Scripture. So Old Testament today, Isaiah 43:19. So let's start there.
Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So we're going to talk a little bit about this towards the latter part of our program, but I believe God wants to do a new thing. I think he wants to do a new thing in our government. I think he wants to do a new thing in us. I think he wants to do a new thing in our president, in Congress. God is the God who creates. He gives wisdom. He created the heavens, the earth, the animals, and he created man in his image. And we think that, you know, we face a battle or whatever, a wall, a hill, a challenge in our life, and sometimes we think, well, this is too impossible. It's not too impossible for God, because God says in his word he wants to do a new thing. He has plans for welfare, a future, and a hope for us. Mm-hmm. And we just need to yield to his creative ideas, because he wants to birth a new thing in our lives. And when whatever that is, if it's a, you know, whatever the challenge that you, as you're hearing my voice, that you face, I believe the Lord is just saying, you know, come rest in the palm of my hand, and let me do a great work in your life. We just have to yield to it.
That's right. And especially in these dark days that we're in, what a great opportunity for us to be a peculiar object in this background of darkness. Not that we don't care and we don't engage. We do, obviously. We talk about these things on the air. We talk about what's going on in the markets. We don't just sit back and go, well, I read the end of the book, and in the end we win. We don't have that kind of lackadaisical attitude. But at the same time, you remember that God rules the entire universe with his feet up. He's not coming out of his chair for any of this craziness going on, whether we're talking about it today on Money Monday or any other day. And so we should have that in the middle of the storm where we're concerned, because all these things affect people made in the image of God who have inestimable worth. We also know that this isn't forever, and there's a whole other spiritual realm behind, below, and above it, and that is where we find our rest and our solitude, so we can kind of have this detachment from the world while at the same time being heavily invested. That's just the tension of the Christian life, and what a great opportunity with this Isaiah 43 verse to remember God wants to do a new thing. We pray for it in the country, we pray for it in the government, and we definitely should be looking for that in ourselves as well. What a great point. Thanks for sharing that today. So let's talk about, David, just a quick update on the markets, and then let's talk about Warren Buffett, because he's got a lot of people's attention today.
Yeah, the Dow is down. It's the only index in paper is down year-to-date, down 0.2.5%. S&P is up 3.9%. NASDAQ of the index is leading the charges, just shy of 22%. Of course, I said gold and silver in the beginning of the year would be the number one asset. 28% plus for gold and almost 49% for silver. And the dollar is getting clobbered. This is the most in the history, second most in the history since 1990, that the dollar is being shorted. In other words, people are betting globally that the dollar is going to go down, with the most amount of money ever from a daily time between now and going back to all the way to 1990. The dollar believes, the world believes the dollar is going down, and they're putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, and so that is trouble with a capital T. And do you think that's what's going on with Warren Buffett? Because he's making some moves that, the guy's been bashing gold for years. All of a sudden, he makes a half a billion dollar investment.
Yeah, this is, you know, he's a long-term investor. He just, think about this. He used to love airlines. He sold airlines here, airline stock. He used to love the bank and financials. He sold bank stock and financial stock as quick as he could. What does this tell us? And he's buying gold. He's bashed gold. He's bashed people who bought gold. He says it doesn't pay an interest, doesn't pay a dividend. It does sit there. Warren Buffett just bought gold. Think about that. What does that tell us? Now, before we get all too excited and over the top, let's put it in this perspective. Because some people already asked me, well, why didn't you buy physical gold? Well, think about that. $564 million in gold, or 20.9 shares in Barrick Gold, this largest gold company in the world, you know, mining company. He's going to have a storage problem with that kind of amount of money in gold.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And look, this is now this is wild. Let me just throw this in there. Speaking of Barrick, this is a quote from 1998 at a Harvard speech. He said, "Gold gets dug out of the ground in Africa or someplace. Then we melt it down, dig another hole, bury it again, and pay people to stand around guarding it. It has no utility. Anyone watching from Mars would be scratching their head. I suppose they would be scratching their head today because he just sunk $563 million into gold stock."
On top of that, you can't get that order filled. There is the COMEX market, the London Fix. They can't fill these orders. They're already backed up. In fact, there's now a question that all the ETFs in gold might not have that gold. So that's why Warren had a default to buying gold shares. So Warren has now just joined the group of billionaires. Amongst him, he's like the Omaha guy. He is the billionaire of billionaires. He is the one now buying gold. So everybody, this should tell us something big.
Yeah.
Something is up in the gold market.
Yeah, Zero Hedge. Here's another one. This was on Twitter. Huge development. Warren Buffett has always been critical of gold, but he's not stupid. He sees where profits will come from going forward. Institutional investors will follow, ergo higher gold and mining stock prices. And it's just blowing up all over the place. Warren Buffett all of a sudden is doing this. So will the, and we talked about this last week, and you were very hesitant to talk about big increases, and we didn't want to appear to be kind of sensationalist that we're trying to capitalize on this. But more and more of these ultra wealthy people are buying more and more gold, including central banks and countries. And it's just remarkable. So will it sustain for a while? And like I said earlier, David, I mentioned national debt to surpass $78 trillion by 2028. That was a Forbes article from August 14th. I mean, everything about this spells massive trouble.
Yeah, when he's selling bank stock and buying gold, and Buffett is a long-term investor. Now, well, they're going to take this a step farther. And I have some really good news. I'm trying to do this without being emotional because I love my country. This is such good news. We talked about last week, just I'll be really quick, Trump possibly backing the currency by gold. And I said, and if he does this, you will have $5,000 to $10,000 in gold. And the math is, you know, 6.5 times moving in gold last time, over 2,000% the time before. So $5,000 to $10,000 in gold in the next 4 to 10 years makes mathematical sense. It doesn't make economic sense. Only if what continues to happen will happen. Now, here's the big news. A new caucus has been launched by Capitol Hill on sound money. In fact, one of your congressmen is involved out of North Carolina, Ted Budd.
Ted Budd.
Yep, Ted Budd. Warren Davidson, congressman of all these are Republicans of Ohio, recently announced, this is just a week ago, the creation of the Congressional Sound Money Caucus. And what they're wanting to do is get on a sound money system. They want to get the debt paid down. They want to back the currency by gold. They are saying by doing these things, it will bring the middle class up to speed, up to the normal healthy level, and they won't be forgotten. I am blown away. Alex Mooney, Republican out of West Virginia, Andy Barr, Republican out of Kentucky, Kevin Brady, Republican out of Texas. I mentioned Ted Budd, Lee Zeldin out of New York, a New York guy, Republican. They're all joining the caucus, and many more, and they are moving towards sound money. We just talked about this. I think you're going to see more in the news. More and more, this plan is going to get laid out. I hope it happens.
Yeah.
Because this will fix and go against what Forbes just said. We can't handle a $78 trillion national debt.
Nope.
We will have a collapse. A collapse is imminent. It is unavoidable. There's going to be a systemic crisis, and I'm not a doomsayer, but we cannot service those kind of numbers. We can't even service it now. So this is great news that Congress is waking up, and we might have exactly what I predicted a week ago coming up.
Yeah, and so the best way for people to understand why Warren Buffett would invest so much in gold, just to understand gold kind of from a 101 perspective, what would be the best way to do that?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Also, at YouTube, David's got a whole YouTube series on there, so if you go to YouTube in the search box, just put in Landmark Capital, and you'll find it that way at the website, landmarkgold.com. David, thanks so much for calling in. Wild days, but that's why we need to keep talking about this stuff. God bless you, bro. Thanks.
God bless you.
All right, we'll talk again real soon. Tomorrow on site at Winslow Homes, which is here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, with Matthew Winslow as well as Fred Von Cannon, two Christian brothers that are both running for the State House here in North Carolina, and why Christians should vote. A very important conversation tomorrow, God willing.